AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you, Matt and Patrick. You know, Patrick, one of the things I'm going to say about the about Biden's speech last night, which I think is actually, I think Biden's speech was great. I really do. I think it was wonderful. But we forget when you have someone as bad as Trump is, and truly Trump is a horrifically bad guy. When you have someone that bad on the other side, you can just, if you do a traditional, you know, kind of interview, or speech. If you just do a kind of traditional speech, guess what? You're going to look like you're far more professional, far more accomplished than Trump is. I mean, really, you could put a, I'm be very honest, I think you could put a high school debate captain against Donald Trump, and they would automatically look 1,000 times more professional than Trump does. And it really is truly remarkable when you think about how far this country has fallen and how bad things are. I mean, next week there's a chance that two hurricanes could hit the southeastern United States. Do you think Trump is going to care? No, I want my party. I'm here for the Republican Party. I want my party, and that's it. I mean, it really is it's somewhat terrifying when you think about the how bad things are being run right now. It was a great speech. And I think in most years it would have stood out, but it especially stood out in this year as because of how badly Trump has bungled everything. It really was. And I want to thank the Devil's Advocate guys who have been on the air with us through the last week here, giving us extra coverage, and thanks to you and Brett here who kind of coordinated that for us. It was nice to have that here. I'm going to guess we're not going to be carrying the Trump speeches next week. Is that a fair assessment there, Patrick?
I actually was curious about that. My assumption is no.
Hello. For you, I am going to eat this entire large tub of paste. Enjoy. Let's get right into it. Josiah Hill is the DFL candidate for Senate District 39, which is Karen Housley's current seat. Once again, we need to flip some seats from the Republicans to the Democrats so that we can get control of the Minnesota Senate. Josiah Hill is out there fighting to get that seat in the column of the DFL. He's kind enough to join us today to talk about his campaign. Josiah, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. He's cutting out a little bit there. Can you hear us, Josiah?
I hear you. You guys hear me all right?
You're cutting in and out a little bit here, but we'll give this a shot, see how this goes here. I got to ask you, first of all, of the question here. You are in a district with Karen Housley, a fairly recognizable Republican. She as well has had some statewide exposure as the losing candidate the last Senate race. Talk a little bit about what prompted you to say, you know what, I'm going to run and I'm going to try to get to the Minnesota Senate.
You bet. Well, I'm a 20-year veteran of public school class, and lost school funding over those same 20 years was a key motivator to get me involved in the political game. And as I watched closely the incumbent over here, particularly over the last 4 years, you know, following her trajectory, seeing her as someone that doesn't seem to be particularly interested in the constituency over here, more interested in attempting to climb into other opportunities. You may recall she attempted to be a lieutenant governor in 18. She was soundly defeated by Senator Tina Smith, but really hasn't carried the water, so to speak, for the friends and neighbors that I have here in Senate District 39. And so as we sized things up, coming into the 2018 election cycle, and you're right, she is well known. But I think those who know Senator Housley best have a sense of what she's about and the work that she's done, her track record. So because of that, she was defeated by Senator Smith in her own half of this Senate district over here in the B side of 39. And so all of those things combined, along with a lot of the political advocacy I'd been doing, and people saying, you know, you need to look at a candidacy, and it all came together. And so we've been at this since January of 19, knowing that it'd take an uphill, consistent fight to get to a majority of voters here, and that's the work we've been engaged in.
Well, and it reminds me a little bit, I mean, and I don't want to foreshadow it of grandiose nature by any means, but last night Biden's story, when his first time he ran for office, I mean, he was taking on a guy that was wildly popular, and everyone thought it'd be a slam dunk, and he ended up winning the seat. You know, you got a challenge, and I commend you for doing this, because I agree with you. I think that's a very winnable seat for the DFL. Let's get a little bit more of your background here. Who exactly is Josiah Hill?
Well, I mentioned it a minute ago. I'm a classroom teacher. Before that, I'm the husband to my wife Emily. I'm 17 years. We are raising our three daughters. They are 9, 6, and 5. They are Grace, Cleo, and Quinn, and they're our world. And, you know, to be honest with you, the experience as a father and the experience of serving students and families as a classroom teacher over the past decades has really solidified for me the importance of the future generation. And that's what this race is about, you know, as we rise up the issues that are most important to our campaign. We're seeing a lot of agreement with the folks that we meet that before the pandemic. We used to be able to go and talk to people at doors, but certainly continuing that work on phones. But we're talking about environmental policy and 20 generations down the line get a chance to enjoy the same beautiful, wonderful Minnesota that we grew up with. When we look at education policy to make sure we're investing in our most precious natural resource, our kids, in their future, to make sure that every Minnesotan, doesn't matter their zip code or their income, their ethnicity, their race, their identity, nothing, no exception, that everybody has a great opportunity for a successful future in who they want to be. And then we also need to make sure that we're taking care of our neighbors. We need to expand health care and make it high quality and accessible to everybody, and to move that needle forward by expanding it to more Minnesotans, as many as we can in each successive session.
I should mention Senate District 39. It's a fairly large district. It runs from the Franconia Sculpture Park, which I think a lot of people know. That's in the district, isn't it?
It is at the northern edge, and it's an interesting spot for those who have been there. It's a good place to take the kids and let them run, get the wiggles out a little bit. It does go. It's a tall district, right? It goes it goes long north, south to north, and goes all the way down to just out of recently. She lived on the last block of the southern tip Senate district. When a particular party had the pitch to draw this district, it was beautifully gerrymandered, like so many of them.
I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Patrick, go ahead and pop him back down on hold here. We are losing him quite a bit here on his cell phone. I'll tell you what, Patrick, why don't you try to give him a call back after the break here, coming up here in just a minute. I'll give you a chance to do the Minnesota coronavirus update. After we get back from the break, we'll see if we can get to a better location here and we can get his cell phone a little bit. But try to give him a call back here and we'll see if we can get him, because, obviously the point of this is to introduce you to him. And if his cell phone's cutting out as bad as it is right now, we're not really hearing too much of what he has to say. So Josiah Hill, hopefully we'll be able to get in contact with him a little bit more here as we do go here. Because that is in that district, as he was describing there, it runs from Franconia, basically US 8 on the very northern end of it, to go all the way down towards Afton. Go ahead and try to recall him, Patrick. Thank you very much. But it runs from the Franconia Sculpture Garden all the way down to Afton, and it runs from the St. Croix River Valley heading on over. Really, Forest Lake is in his district and that area here as well. So we'll hopefully be able to get in touch with him here. But, yeah, his phone's just kind of – it's part of the problem. Everything is kind of distance learning, as we say. And so it is sometimes it happens that way. So hopefully we'll be able to get in touch with him here before too much longer. It does give me a chance here to talk a little bit about the the Minnesota coronavirus update for today. 8 more people have died of COVID-19 in Minnesota, more than 800 new cases. 825 new coronavirus infections, according to data released on Friday morning. That is, once again, we get these days, which are – they seem to be way more than we've had. And, you know, we go low for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're kind of jumping back up again, and that's unfortunate. Through Thursday, the state is averaging over averaging over the previous 7 days about 614 new cases per day and a volume of about 17,000 tests. The latest numbers show 296 patients were hospitalized and 136 patients required intensive care. Both of those numbers were down from Thursday. And daily tallies for hospitalized patients in Minnesota have been holding steady in recent weeks. They remain well below the peaks of more than 600 hospitalized patients and about 260 in the ICU in May. Residents of long-term care and assisted living facilities accounted for 4 of the 8 deaths newly announced by the Department of Health there as well. COVID-19 is the greatest risk of people with COVID-19 include those 65 and older, as well as people with underlying medical conditions. And I got to tell the truth, it was one of those cases where we've had we're looking at the school year, and I think there's a lot of people that are somewhat wary of how things are going to go here with the school year because of the way things are going. I mean, they just had the report. They definitely know there were people who were sick with coronavirus at Sturgis. They know this for a fact. They've actually done some contact tracing and definitively pinpointed people that were at Sturgis, 460,000 people, most of them not wearing masks, that had coronavirus. So I think South Dakota is about to become a mess. Does he sound a little bit better here? All right. So let's rejoin him here. Josiah Hill, once again, in Senate District 39 there. Hey, Josiah, are you a little bit better? Did we lose him again? Oh, I'm going to blame Housley. I'm going to blame Karen Housley. That's what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. Go ahead and let's take a break. We'll go a little early here. See if we can get in touch with Josiah here and chat with him a little bit more about his race. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take the commercial break. We'll be back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You waited and now you save. Zero Resin AM 950 are partnering for an end-of-summer carpet cleaning sale. This month you can get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Res clean for just $119. Their patented powered water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Plus, keep the air in your home fresh by taking $50 off your air duct cleaning. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call to get these big savings. That's 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. I'm an idealist working to change the world. My show, Ellie 2.0 Radio, highlights other past and present idealists and the incredible things humans can do when we work for the greater good. You remember that idea about the greater good, right? I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Listen every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. and be inspired on AM 950.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
You know, honey, I think I deserve some kind of reward.
Here, have a pickle.
Thanks. After all, I did find us the perfect house.
Have another pickle.
Thank you.
But remember, then I found out how much our house was going to cost.
Yeah, but then I found us the perfect mortgage. Got any more of these?
Sure. Help yourself. But then I found out our perfect house had radon.
Ooh.
The stuff you can't see, smell, or taste. And it's radioactive. And it's the second leading cause of lung cancer. Some dream house.
Yeah.
I need two pickles.
True. But then I found a phone number to call, 1-800-SOS-RADON. Where you can get all the information you need to test and fix a home with a radon problem.
You did.
Yeah, and then I found out we were going to have a baby. So, you know, your study, it'd be a perfect room for my mother.
Right. Now I need a phone number to fix a home with a mother-in-law problem.
Hey.
I'm in a pickle. Did you say baby?
Do we have any ice cream?
Protect your family from radon. Make your home safer. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. 1-800-SOS-RADON.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I think we got Josiah Hill back here, Senate District 39 Democrat of the day. Josiah, thanks for holding with us here. I'm glad we got you back here.
Well, I hope it works. I climbed to the peak of my roof, Matt, to see if we could get better reception. I've never had a problem over here, so I'm embarrassed that we're having a snafu here today.
No worries. I want to ask you about something specifically that Karen Housley did, and just get your thoughts on this. I mean, last week we had a case where the Senate Republicans, because they were angry at Governor Walz because he justifiably has extended the emergency order during a pandemic, decided to take out their frustration on the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry. And they fired her, the commissioner, because they were mad at a man. Karen Housley, and I think the reason, one of the things that the dynamics here we're looking at is the Republicans are desperately trying to appeal to suburban women. It didn't look good for them to fire a woman because they were mad at a man. So they send Karen Housley, one of the more recognizable women within the Republican Party, out to justify the firing. And her justification for the Republican Party firing her was something to the effect of, you know, rural wedding destination locations shouldn't have to follow fire code. And she was it is such a bizarrely small, petty thing. It clearly was an excuse. We talked to Susan Kent, the Senate Minority Leader, last week, and she said, of course, it was a made up excuse. Talk a little bit about the fact that this is, you know, here you have an accomplished woman who is doing her job as the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry. And the Republicans, led by Karen Housley, go out of their way to fire her because they're mad at Governor Walz.
Well, I've seen a lot of behaviors out of this last session from the Senate Republican caucus, and it's pretty alarming. First and foremost, I think it's important to note that Senator Gazelka, the majority lead, has kind of, forgive the terminology here, but evolved, so to speak, into that role. He's really adopted the Mitch McConnell playbook of obstructionism. They won't allow any debate. They won't allow any discussion or allow any kind of real change that our state so desperately needs to remain the leader that it is to take place. And, you know, it's really clamped things down over in St. Paul. And the real losers are the residents of Minnesota. On the choice that their caucus made last week to go after the commissioner, it's unprecedented. It's strange. It's vindictive, and it's flat out wrong. The reasoning behind it that Senator Housley provided has no bearing on the truth, or has nothing to do with what that was about. That was an attempt to score points, and I think it's indicative of the level of maturity and the level of seriousness that caucus holds as they move forward. It's not how Minnesota deserves to be led.
going back to, I want to give a chance to revisit something we were trying to talk about a little bit earlier in regards to Housley's lack of focus on the district. And this is common. You get someone who their sights are set on statewide office or, you know, maybe a lobbying gig afterwards, and they stop really caring that much about the constituents they're dealing with. As you talked about, you've got a steeped history with education here. You know, you have Republicans right now, not just here but across the country, screaming, just reopen the schools. But they don't want to provide the safety equipment for the teachers. They don't want to comprehend the danger of trying to have closed classrooms with a pandemic going on here. Talk about those failures, because once again, as much as these problems are a pandemic and, you know, a lack of safety equipment – This is where it comes back to home, because that's the Stillwater School District. That's in Marine on St. Croix. This is in Bayport. These are the communities that are getting affected by it, Forest Lake. And they don't – I mean, I can tell you right now, is there's a lot of parents I know that, sure, I'd love to have my kids back in school, but the idea of sending them back in there as sacrificial lambs like the Republicans want to, that's not a good policy.
Well, we're in talks right now of how to achieve a safe reopening here in Stillwater School District. Like I mentioned, I'm a 20-year teaching veteran here. And there's nothing that educators want more than to be back in their classrooms and their workspaces with the students and families they serve. We're dying to be back there. We can't wait. And here's the thing. The rush back to schools is an important question. We want to be there, as I just said, but it has to be done safely, Matt. And as we move towards this, I recognize clearly the balance that we need to find, because reopening our economy is key. It's essential. And a part of that is getting our young people back into their educational spaces and continuing their educational journeys. But at the same time, we need to move slowly. We need to plan for this to ensure that it can be done well, that it can be done safely, and it can be done equitably, because if we do this in a way that doesn't serve all kids, then we're only going to exacerbate and grow the problems that we've seen over time throughout the country, and certainly here in Minnesota, as we strive to focus on equity and moving forward for all kids. So it's incredibly complex question. In our district here, we're working hard to put the conditions in place before everybody feels prepared and ready and safe to move forward in that way. I know they're doing that same work up in Forest Lake School District and in Chisago Lakes as well in the northern part of the Senate District.
And, you know, it's like I said, you know, I don't know a teacher that doesn't want to get back into the classroom. But if by mid-October we have a third of the entire school district's teachers in quarantine, what have we really done outside of made things a lot worse?
Well, again, you know, I want to make sure we take a long view on things. You know, mm-hmm. I think oftentimes people say this next session is only about this next session when it comes to the Senate, or that this decision is just about the month of September and what's going to happen in the month of September. Taking the long view, and I mentioned this earlier, and I don't know if you and your listeners could hear this part because of the technical difficulties, but the reason why I'm running for the Minnesota Senate is has been, you know, influenced by the catalyst for this run was, you know, my experience as a father and as a 20-year classroom teacher. This is about the future of Minnesota. And, you know, as we step forward, the vision here is to not fall prey to or take the bait on a short-term gain that's going to be a lot, it's going to have a lasting consequence that's going to be so damaging. So we got to get this right. We have to keep our kids, our families, certainly our staff members, but most importantly, the spirit of an educator includes someone that is caring and wants to do their best for every child. Mm-hmm. And it goes well beyond the individual kids in those classrooms. They care about the communities where they serve. And this is about keeping our communities safe as well.
Josiah Hill joining us, Senate District 39 Democrat of the day. Let's talk about you talk about the future, not just looking at one next session here. You are very much running on an environmental policy. You know, your webpage has you standing in front of a bunch of solar panels, which is cool. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing more and more of that, which is even more cool. And I'm a guy that grew up in the age where when people started back in the 80s suggesting solar power and wind power, they said, well, you can't possibly do that enough. And now, you know, people are running to this as much as they possibly can. Talk about this fight, because one of the things that is still there is still this very loyal element to coal, gas, and oil that, you know, they just, even though we have the science, we have the technology, it is clearly clean energy that can work for all of us. There still is the reluctance to embrace it, and we need to have people more like yourself who seem to have a pretty strong environmental policy and desire in the Minnesota Senate.
Well, I grew up here in Stillwater. I am one that has the honor of teaching students and family. I get to teach at my alma mater, where I graduated from high school. And where I grew up, we were not a short bike ride, but a long bike ride. It's fun going down the hill. It was a long slog up the hill to go fishing down at the St. Croix River. And so spending time there and later on as a young adult and in the years ahead to get a chance to ride on boats, spend time on the surface as well, the opportunity to be around St. Croix River allowed me to understand well and understand clearly from a very young age the importance of taking care of these beautiful natural jewels that we're so lucky to have throughout the state of Minnesota. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that without consistent, you know, without a break, focus on the health of that river and its ecosystem and the water that it contains, even taking a year off of that focus wouldn't have allowed for this opportunity for our current residents and people who come to visit the valley and in this wonderful Senate district to have. And so I understood from a young age. Now, you asked me about an image that's in some of our literature and things. Yeah, there's a growing number of those solar farms up near Sandia and Forest Lake, and I think people are going to begin to see those in every corner of Minnesota, because the simple fact is this. It's now cheaper to produce wind and solar energy than it is to burn coal. The coal lobby is strong. The fossil fuel lobby is strong. But we're beginning to see those stacks going offline and, you know, continuing to be scheduled to be decommissioned. We have a very large coal-fired plant, the Onet King plant here in Oak Park Heights here in this Senate district, that's soon going to be going offline and deconstructed. And while that's good news for the environment and for CO2 emissions, it leads to all kinds of interesting questions around making sure that we have a robust cleanup effort, making sure that communities like Oak Park Heights, where that stack is, have opportunities to recover some of that tax base and make sure that it doesn't just completely damage the local economy and those municipalities. And so we have all kinds of work to do as we transition to this new energy producing climate. But it's really exciting. And I think that when we pivot to looking at the transportation sector and taking the climate crisis head on, that we have some great opportunities to be the leaders that we often are here in Minnesota, once again in this way.
I like how you brought that up, because that has always been one of the problems, is we always like spending the money on the front end, but when we have a mess behind, no one wants to pick up the bill. This is one of the reasons why I'm wary of pipelines, especially pipelines where the owner of the pipeline doesn't have to clean up their own mess. Or, you know, sulfide mines, you know, that in precious mining with sulfide, leaving sulfur dioxide behind, because, you know, that there's no obligation that these companies have to clean it up. And generally then it's a bunch of people staring around at each other saying, well, I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to pay for it. You got to have that plan in place really from the get-go so that you don't end up having a case like what you're describing. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to get in there and get the DFL to help you out with the funds to make sure that cleanup went correctly.
Well, I certainly know that there's plans underway. I know that the leadership in Oak Park Heights is working closely, and I think it's important to note that some of the utilities have been leaning in a way that we haven't seen them kind of lean before, and they're partnering on this. I think there's so many economic implications, and they're beginning to see and understand the future quite well, and not just in the CO2 emission sense, but in the economic sense. As I previously mentioned, it now makes economic sense to move forward to a greener Minnesota. And so I liked how you referenced, Matt, you know, your childhood. And I remember that, too, and seeing some of the rudimentary windmills and as technologies were being worked on and developed and seeing some of those solar panels on the side of homes that have been there for so long, and then seeing the new generation of technology. We've come a long way, and it's not by mistake. This is the only way forward. And change is hard for some human beings. I understand that. But as we look into the future, 1, 10, 20, 30 generations down the line, it's clearly the way forward, and I'm excited for our green future.
Well, and your district, I mean, how pretty is your district, for goodness sakes? Not only do you have the cuteness of the old towns, but, I mean, I was just up at William O'Brien State Park. I mean, you truly have one of those incredible environmental districts, and preserving that environment, especially for the people that want to come and visit that district, is such an important element of it. Josiah Hill, once again, Senate District 39. Yeah, this is the point, Josiah, where I make the comment to everyone out there. Go help your local Democrat. By all means, help them out. Help your local race. But if you're in a race where it's a relatively safe Democratic seat, we need help in Senate District 39. We need to get Josiah to St. Paul. We need Karen Housley out of the Minnesota Senate. She's not helping. She's part of the problem. She's not part of the solution. Josiah is part of the solution. So if you want to help out Josiah, I'm sure, once again, the age of coronavirus, a lot of stuff is distance, but you have volunteer opportunities, as well as also donations are always welcome, correct?
You bet they are. And, you know, we're excited to have gotten out early. We're excited by the response and the support for our campaign, and support that a DFLer hasn't seen in our Senate district in quite some time. And so we're thrilled for the support. And you've mentioned it a couple of times, Matt. This race is definitely on the radar and in play. And we are energized and enthused and fueled forward by the support. If those who are interested in learning more, you know, please check our website. It's my name, josiahhill.org. Where you can learn more about our campaign, some upcoming events. We're thrilled to have Aaron Murphy joining us for a gathering,
nice.
A virtual gathering, that is. We're having Senator Minority Lead Susan Kent join us, and working on some other events coming up as we move into September. And so we'd love to have you. If you're interested in more of the story of our campaign, you know, our Facebook page, Josiah Hill for Senate, kind of if you want to flip back through that, you can see where we have been and how we've evolved in our campaign and grown. And just honored to have the opportunity here, Matt. We thank you for the opportunity. It's an opportunity like this to spread the word that if we're going to grab those two or more seats and get the gavels back on the side that wants to do work, it's opportunities like this that help make that happen. So honored for the chance to talk to you today.
JosiahHill.org. That's JosiahHill.org. I'll link to that on all the websites a little bit later on. Josiah, all my best. Thank you very much. Let's take a break. We're running really late now. Let's get a break on in. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. You might think you have to give up performance to invest responsibly, but that simply isn't true. Responsible investing can actually have a positive impact on performance. We will work with you to come up with a strategy that matches your values. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. Toyota is making the best vehicles on the market today. The Highlander, the RAV4, Camry, Sienna, all their models are sensational, designed for the driver. Once you realize which Toyota vehicle is best for you, the next step is to head over to the best Toyota dealership in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota. Getting the best vehicle at the best dealership is important, and I trust them, period. Head over, tell them I told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2, Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
We're breaking out this time. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. A lot to get to here in the remaining few minutes. Here we got 952-946-6205. One thing I wanted to mention, okay, so we had talked about the Minnesota coronavirus update before we got reconnected there with Josiah Hill. 17 students at St. Olaf in Northfield have been suspended for the fall semester after attending an off-campus party where masks were not worn. Now, the way I've heard this described was it was a case where these kids specifically got to the campus the day before they were supposed to check in and had a party off campus specifically before the school started. I don't know, to just prove that even though you made it into St. Olaf doesn't mean you're necessarily smart. I don't know. I have no idea why you would do something like this. 50 total students need a quarantine due to lack of social distancing. So these kids went out, party if you can, we don't need face masks, coronavirus evil, go Trump, or something of that nature. I'm guessing that was the context of the discussion going on there in Northfield while at this this kegger party. But the reality is there was a sick person there. I think they said there multiple people have tested sick already. Is it seven? And so all the people that were at the party, then all their roommates who, because once again, these idiots decided then to go and hang around other people who weren't at the party. And guess what? Like I said, I mean, you're just because you're going to college doesn't mean you're smart. The school officials have announced they administered more than 34,000 COVID-19 tests to students, faculty, and staff as they reopen campus. Results from 3,055 tests have come back with a 0.03% positive rate. Thursday morning, the college had 8 students who have tested positive. All St. Olaf students will be tested again in 2 weeks. Now, so it's not sure whether those students necessarily were at this party, but yeah. And I got to tell you the truth. This is, you know, one of those cases where you know... Like I said, just because you're going to college doesn't mean you're smart. All right, so I actually got a news thing here because I've heard that this is not good. And I'm surprised. I have not heard this on any of the news outlets. But City Pages had this, of all places. The Food and Drug Administration and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention are currently looking into a multi-state outbreak of salmonella as has sickened at least 68 people so far. The culprit seems to be a Wawana brand bagged peaches sold at Aldi and Target, possibly other stores. So Wawana is W-A-W-O-N-A, Wawana brand peaches in a bag. Aldi, Target, other stores, 15 or so states, including Minnesota, Wisconsin. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, 23 of the 68 unfortunate souls are from right here in Minnesota. They range between 3 and 92 years old. If you bought said peaches between now and June, you should throw them away accordingly. Well, if you still have them in June, you should be throwing them away anyway. I mean, for gosh sakes, what are you doing? You know where all the flies are in your kitchen? Hey, those would be peaches. You probably want to check those out. You should also sanitize anything the peaches touched, like your refrigerator or any bowls or anything like that. So be careful. Once again, it's Wawana-based bagged peaches sold at Aldi, Target, and possibly other stores, including Minnesota and Wisconsin. So, yeah. Boy, peach season. Yum. 952-946-6205. I don't know if you at all got the Louis DeJoy Postmaster General beatdown in the Senate. One of the things that's always funny about politics is that when the House gets ready, because in case you missed it, Senate goes on vacation. Mitch McConnell can't be bothered because I got Russians I got to meet with, or something of that fact. I don't know exactly what Mitch is up to, but needless to say, Mitch McConnell, he adjourns the Senate for most of August. The House basically says, well, we're not going to wait till the regular return. We're going to get back early and question the Postmaster General. To which that sends the Senate saying, well, we better get back there and question them beforehand so that we can offer them some level of defense. And that's kind of what happened today. Although Louis DeJoy, he clearly is not prepared for the job of basically being a yes man for this Trump administration. Now, one thing I want to step back and state about most Republicans and most Republican front men, the way the Republican Party is structured today, the people that make the decisions are in the back room. I'll give you a great example is the Veterans Administration. The Trump administration put someone in charge of the Veterans Administration, told them to do the Veterans Administration stuff, do that. But the reality is there seems to be pretty clear-cut evidence the Veterans Administration was actually being run by three buddies of Trump that have close ties to the Republican Party who were hanging out at Mar-a-Lago and were basically running the Veterans Administration from Mar-a-Lago by three unappointed Republican strategists. That's who's been doing it. So there's the front person who is the guy that basically has to get dragged in front of the House and the Senate and get questioned. And they have to be someone that basically never has to answer yes or no. Then there's the people that are actually doing the stuff that you have no idea. But most of the time, they're not elected officials. They're not politicians. They're basically people who have bankrolled the Republican Party. And they want to stay in the shadows. So Louis DeJoy clearly is a guy that has been put out there as the face of this, but doesn't seem to be running this organization. And nor does he seem to be ready to face the crossfire here, because he was questioned by Senate Democrats, and the Democrats lit him up, especially the senator from Nevada. I don't know what I don't know her name off the top of my head here, but she just tore into him. And here's the three things you should walk away from the DeJoy testimony, which really should kind of scare you most of all. One, that he basically has no idea who authorized the removal of the blue mail bins or the mail sorting equipment. That he didn't seem to have any idea that that was going on until he was made aware of it through press reports, which is, okay, you're the Postmaster General and you have no idea people are taking down mailboxes? Once again, going back to what I said earlier, there are some people behind the scenes that are really making all the decisions here, and he's basically just the poor sod that's got to go out and try to defend them. He also, when questioned, clearly showed that he at no point did he actually factor in seniors and veterans. And I'll add in farmers. I don't think she questioned the senator from Nevada questioned about farmers, but the stories today of farmers, you can mail baby chicks in America. You can through the mail system, and it's something that's happened for years. I mean, you can mail baby chickens through the mail. Well, all of a sudden now farmers are getting boxes of dead chicks because they haven't been delivered, and so clearly no one thought about this from the point of view of the seniors and the veterans and the farmers. And DeJoy is like, well, and he just keeps just saying this, well, we did a cost study analysis and this should save us money. And people should get their mail fast and this should save money. This is, by the way, another great example of why you never hand over something from the public sector to a private businessman. Because their job is to make money, not serve the people without greed and an agenda. You know, they just have to, what's your job? I deliver the mail. I make sure the mail gets delivered. And when you put guys like DeJoy in there, he doesn't understand anything outside of money, 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 money. And so he's the worst kind of guy to have in charge of an organization like this. So there's that. And the other thing which DeJoy came out with, so there's the one is that he has no idea who made the commands to do this. Two, that he never factored in the postal customers, especially the seniors and the veterans and the farmers, when they made these decisions on whether or not there'd be an impact to those individual groups, which there has. Medications haven't gotten places in time. Checks haven't gotten there. Dead chickens are being sent now, which is just god-awful. But he says that I have no intent of putting back the mailboxes and the mail sorters, so don't worry, we still will get it done. And what I want to say is this. He had no idea what was going on in his mail department, in the post office. He had no idea. He was told that he had to defend them at all cost. And when they were demanding things go back, he was told to say, no, we're not going to do that. And that's Louis DeJoy. And by the way, Louis, you are going to you don't mess with the post office. It's in the Constitution. And when this does eventually get proven, the guys that told you to do this, the guys that actually did make the decisions on pulling away the mailboxes and did make the decisions in regards to getting rid of the mail sorting equipment, the people that did hold up the elderly's medication, the people that did hold up the veterans' checks, the people that did hold up those chickens who are all now dead, those guys are not going to jail. Louis DeJoy is going to jail because you cannot, even though you are the Postmaster General, you can't sabotage the post office. The Constitution says it has to be there. So light him up, throw him in jail, and maybe you just start teaching these guys. If the Democrats are smart, you make hay out of all of this. And you throw these people in jail, these business people that thought that they could come on in here and make a buck by basically ruining these institutions of America. And you chuck them into jail, and you make sure they have long prison terms. Because maybe, just maybe, they'll stick to the private sector and they won't try to get into the public institutions, because this is really, we have seen it all. I mean, one of the reasons why our country is where it's at today is that business people have tried to take their business acumen and apply it to the public sector, and it does not work. It does not work. Prisons, hospitals, the post office. Come on, across education, across the board. When did everything start sucking canal water? It started when they started putting a business model into the public sector. And so until you start taking a guy like DeJoy and Betsy DeVos and hauling their ass into a courtroom and throwing their butts in jail for the failures of their office, until you do that, you're going to get these people that continually think that they can. The last time this happened, back in the 1920s, you had people that were so brazen. The guy that was in charge of Veterans Affairs sold off for personal profit all the leftover surplus military gear from World War I. And they did try him and convict him. And it cleared things out. All of a sudden, these people that are trying to make a buck saying, I'm not going to be the guy holding the bag at the end of the day. And it made a difference. So I hope Louis DeJoy, it will be a DeJoy to see you go to jail, you jackass. Gary is in Minneapolis. Let's get Gary Bear on in here before we end the show. Hey, Gary.
Well, man, I got a few things to say.
Okay.
First of all, I just got informed they're going to have a write-up on that pen pill story in the Star Tribune tomorrow.
Oh,
they're inspiring.
Nice. Good job.
Anyways, I got to tell you, the whole tons of voters vote for Trump to run the country like a business, and they're finding out, I think, a lot of them, how it don't work. And then I want to tell the listeners that if they're worried about sending their ballots in the mail or anything, they have early voting in the courthouse at 980 East Hennepin, and it's a lot safer because it's spread out over a long time. I think it's going to open up in the middle of September sometime. And that's how I voted in the primary, so.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Always have. By the way, I'll keep an eye on the story in the Star Tribune tomorrow. If I see the story, I'll make sure I publish it out there. 952-946-6205. Let's take our final break, and we'll get back some music to end up the week. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
There's a lot going on that makes it easy to lose your cool these days, but Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here to make sure that doesn't happen. This August, you can get a brand new air conditioner for just $2,500 with the purchase of a high-efficiency furnace. Standard Heating is also offering low payment options or 0% financing, which is also pretty cool. Find out more at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
The Electric Fetus is now open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. There are limits to the number of people allowed in the store, and masks are required. Web and phone orders are available for curbside pickup. The Electric Fetus is buying used vinyl and DVDs and some CDs. Stop in or email info at electricfetus.com. Visit electricfetus.com for all the latest info and to shop for music, gift department merchandise, and gift cards. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis.
Aho, this is Robert Pilot, Wakun Jahade of Native Roots Radio present Time Awake. And I want to tell you about two Native shows on AM 950. Please listen to Rock the Vote Native Style on Tuesdays, 2 to 3 p.m. On Sundays, we have the Sunday Native Symposium, 6 to 8 p.m., commercial free. Guests from all over Turtle Island and local politicians. That's Rock the Vote Native Style, Tuesdays, 2 to 3 p.m., and the Native Symposium, Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
I wanted to get to this. Well, I didn't get some time. It sounds like Hagedorn is getting some legal counsel with the financial problems that he's had in his office. Okay, first of all, I want to make sure I say this. Jim, as much as I give you grief down there in House District 1, I hope the cancer treatments, I hope things are going okay. I've had friends who have died of cancer. I have had friends who have recovered from cancer. It is incredibly taxing. I hope that's going okay. That being said, dude, man, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. You know, maybe it's, I understand we're past the primary, but would anyone really, I don't think anyone would feel too bad if you just sort of say, you know what, I'm going to spend the rest, you know, my time with, as I deal with cancer with my family, so I'm going to withdraw from the race. Let Fian win the whole thing and be done with it, because I think you're going to have some very, it's not going to necessarily be a pro-Trump year anyway, and you having a scandal is not going to help. The other thing I wanted to get to was a story, interesting story about a lawsuit. I'll revisit this. I'll post this up on – it's from City Pages about the city of Minneapolis, where Republicans seem to be – the new case is, well, even though you haven't passed any laws, we're going to preemptively sue you in an attempt to basically try to legislate from a courtroom. I don't quite know what they're trying to do. Anyway, rambling, gambling man, it's Seeger. This will take us out today. Have a good weekend. Try to enjoy it. We are back on a Monday. Till then, see ya.